church? Enter heaven doors with peace of heart, a changed mind, a new heart. Forgive, and your heavenly Father will forgive you.
Yes. Hallelujah. While you are standing, while you are standing, while you are standing.
We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
The wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
It's a little difficult for you to praise him if you don't believe it is so. I said it's a little difficult for you to praise him if you don't believe it is so. How many of you know he'll do just what he said? See, we're talking about faith all this month. It's about doing what God said he'll do and you attaching your belief to that. He's going to do it. It's whether or not he manifested in your life. Praise the Lord. Come on, do me one favor. Stand on your feet and give him praise for the fact that he's not a man that he should lie. He's worthy of the praise today. Worthy of the praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. While we're standing, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, our God, in the blessed and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we thank you today. We thank you today. We thank you today for just being who you are, for doing what you said you're going to do. And God, we have faith in the fact that whatever you have said, we believe it. And God, by that same measure of faith, we know it's done. And Father, you've already spoken it, so therefore you've already given your credence to it. And all we have to do is attach our faith to it, and the manifestation of it shall come forth in our lives. Oh God, thank you for this day to worship you, to hear your word and to practice the same word by your Spirit's power and anointing. We pray that he will allow, through the teaching and preaching of this word today, the saints to be encouraged and strengthened, that we will stretch out on faith and believe you for what you've said. God, now we thank you in advance for what you're going to do because of your word and our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give him praise today. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. Amen. 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 I'm excited about this month of faith in our ministry, and
the teaching and preaching surrounding faith issues from the Word of God, because Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so if your faith is going to be increased, it is not going to be increased by emotionalism, by sensationalism, by church services and all of that. If your faith is going to be increased, it is going to be increased by the Word and the hearing of the Word of God. And so if you want to increase your faith today, that you might be what God's called you to be, that you might believe for what God's called you to believe for, so that you might be not only a believer but a receiver of the blessings and bounty of the Lord, then this month of faith is going to bless your heart. I want you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 1, if you will. James chapter 1. And I want to look at verses 5 through 8. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy and divine word. James gives this writing, this moving and searching truth that is presented to the church and to the body of Christ at large for several purposes. One of the things that he emphatically makes clear is that if we understand who we are and if we understand our place in God, then we ought to understand in simple terms that God has got this thing fixed. No matter what you endure, no matter what you deal with, no matter what comes your way, when you understand that God navigates the circumstances of life, and he has the power and the ability to pre-approve all of our struggles, all of our storms, all of our situations according to our ability to deal with them, then we will understand why he starts off talking like he starts off talking when he says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers or different or various temptations. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith. Your faith must be tried. And you've got to understand that we can say we have faith, but until our faith has been put to the test, it's only talk. And that's why you see folk hoot and shout all around church on Sundays and fall apart on Mondays, because they have a sense of what faith is to be like, but it is not real until it has been tested. Now, here's what he's saying. You ought to be able to be tested. And through your testings, when you are down and out and feeling like the world is on top of you, you ought to still have joy. You ought to take that Sunday morning experience and shout your way through the storm, shout your way through the fire, shout your way through the trouble, and shout your way through the testings. Then, and only then, will you understand that your faith is real and it pleases God. You see, it's hard to count it joy if you ain't got no faith. Because faith is going to rise above your circumstances. Faith is going to rise above your situations. When you can't see, faith is going to show you some things. And faith is going to reach above where you are and connect with God. How many times have you experienced some things in life, and in the midst of your experiencing those things, your mind said, you ain't gonna make it? Your mind says, I can't go another step further. Your mind says, this is unreasonable, illogical. I can't make it. I can't take it. And when your mind, with all of your natural strengths and your natural abilities and your natural reasonings and your natural resources have come to an end, your faith say, we can do it. Something happens on the inside, because you know what faith does? And I thank God for this. Listen to this. Faith is not motivated nor inspired by feelings. So when your feelings run their course and you are at the end of your rope, faith doesn't function on feelings. What faith reaches back and searches through and catalogs what you've chronicled in your reference as relates to the word is it goes back in what you have taken in as it relates to the word of God, and faith finds something it can root itself in. And faith say, listen, don't give up, because God said. And faith starts digging in your heart, in your spirit, and reaching for the word that is there that God has spoken, because faith can only hold on to what God has said. That's why the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is what God has said that faith holds on to and secures itself and starts speaking back to you. I mean, faith rises on the inside of you and just goes back to the word. It goes back to the rock, and it settles you by saying and bringing up to your remembrance what the word of God says. I mean, tell you, I don't care who you are, how saved you are, you can go through some stuff that'll make you want to throw in the towel, write your letter of resignation, say, Lord, I give up, say, it ain't worth all of this. But faith kicks in. And faith brings back, even above all of the testing and the trying and the situations, the fact that God said, you're going to make it. Now, I want you to see this, because I want to move right down quickly. This is not where I want to function on verse 2, 3, and 4. I want to get to 5, because in this test of faith here, he brings up an interesting point that we ought to look at, because he's talking about wisdom now. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, listen at this, if any of you lack wisdom. Now this wisdom is being interpreted as the revelational knowledge of God, in the sense of understanding how to be skillful and operate in the word of God, in the things of God. Now listen to what it says. If any of you lack, if you will, the ability or the skillfulness to walk and work in the word of God, then you need to ask God for it. Because God will show you how to walk in his word, how to work in his word, and how to work out of his word, because it is God who desires that you would function and flow as it relates to what he has said in his word. And this would be true when you ask the question, who better than God can tell you about himself and what he wants of you and expects of you better than him? So if you lack wisdom, this godly wisdom, then you ought to ask the one who gives it to all men and desires that all men walk in the wisdom of God. Now look at what he says here, because he says, that give it to all men liberally. God wants you to have wisdom to spare. God doesn't give you wisdom in skimpy little, you know, portions. He wants to pour out his wisdom on you and in you, so that you might make decisions based on wisdom. You might have conversation based on wisdom. You might walk, talk, and live based on wisdom. And if you're doing it with godly wisdom, you will always be blessed, because you will obey what God desires you to do and say what he desires you to say and live the way he desires you to live, and so forth and so on, because it's going to be led by God. So the wisdom that he's talking about here, this godly wisdom, is important for you to understand. God wants you to have an abundance of his wisdom. You see, the mistakes that many of us have made and the decisions we have made has been because we have lacked godly wisdom. Now, we have gotten some wisdom from the world, and I need to tell you that worldly wisdom differs from godly wisdom. I said worldly wisdom differs from godly wisdom. And worldly wisdom works opposite most times of God's wisdom. And so there are some things and some components of worldly wisdom that do not operate properly in godly wisdom. And you've got to know the difference. And so here, notice what he's saying. He says, again, that upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, God wants us to know that what he does and what he gives it because he desires that it will add to your fruitfulness. And if he does it, and he does it unselfishly, he does it with all fullness of joy and intent of making your life everything that it ought to be, he wants us to recognize and appreciate that this kind of wisdom can only come from him. But look at what it says. But let him ask in faith. Now, if you're going to ask for wisdom, the wisdom that you ask of God must be in faith. Why faith? Because faith comes from God. Every man, according to Romans 12 and 3, has been given the measure of faith. We have the faith to reach up and connect with God. Believe what God has said in his word. It's already a part of our makeup. God has included that in our system. So we have the measure of faith to connect with God. That's why it's so important to preach the word to the whole world, because every man, woman, girl, and boy has been given the measure of faith whereby they are able to connect if they will hear and believe what God has to say about his word. So in understanding that, we then understand that the faith that is necessary to communicate with God in prayer must be present when we present the petition. In other words, don't come to God talking no talk and not meaning what you're saying. Don't come to God shucking and jiving with him and saying stuff that sounds good, but you have no real focus nor conviction about what you're saying. God knows. He not just only hears the words of your mouth, but he checks the condition of your heart. He then aligns that with your faith level and sees whether or not you are saying something you heard somebody else say, or something that you believe that God has said because he has spoken it in your spirit and you're holding on to it because God has said this. So you've got to understand, when you ask even for wisdom, God, I need you to guide me. I need you to lead me. You need to have faith enough to know that when you ask him to lead you and ask him to guide you, he's going to do just that. Now, what's the sense in asking him to lead you and guide you and you don't have faith enough to receive what you're asking for? Because I think you need to know that the way that he leads us and guides us is always going to have his foundation in the word. Its foundation in the word. Now, he may not do it by traditional means. I mean, the answer may not just pop in your head or in your mind. He may send a person to speak that word to you, to give you that word, and yet he will confirm it in your heart and in your spirit, and you'll know that's the way of God. Or he will put something on the inside of you and then cause you to open the word of God and see the answer right there staring you in the face. I mean, he may work in some different ways, but you've got to understand, if it is the wisdom of God, it has got to come from God. And so here, he's trying to help us to understand something that's so important. If you're going to ask God, it must be asked in faith. Now look at what the word says. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. Now let's look at the word, first of all, wavering. Now, waves always have a peak and a valley. Peak and valley. Peak and valley. Peak and valley. If you ever stay on sharp waves in small vessels, it'll make you sick. Y'all don't hear me here today. The peaks and the valley. Peaks and the valley. But the only problem with wavering is, wavering does not go just in an up and down motion. It has a twisting and a turning. So it's hard to keep your equilibrium focused. And so when you can't keep your equilibrium focused, then that's what causes the nausea and causes you to become sick. And after accepting the realities that the body can't focus on that unstable condition, then that's what causes what we have called seasickness. And a whole lot of you got seasickness faith.
See, you ain't got no solid faith that's strong enough to stay there and be rooted and founded. Your faith keeps going up and shaking and twisting and turning. And so therefore, there is no stability in your faith. If there is no stability in your faith, there's not going to be any stability in your petition or your request. And if there's not any stability in your faith or in your request or in your petition, then there's not going to be any stability in your trusting God for the answer. Because what's going to happen is you're going to believe him now, but situations happen and then you stop believing him. Or what's going to happen is you say, Lord, I want it, but that's not really what you want. Or you'll find yourself having so many different altering effects, not only on your petition, but the faith that fuels your petition. And so listen at what James is saying here now, because it's important. He says, wavering nothing, nothing wavering. Everything must be solid, everything must be stable, everything must be stout, and everything must be secure. In other words, before I go to God, I've got to almost believe in my heart that I have it even before I ask him, so that when I do ask him, I know that I have it, because when he hears me, the word says he's got to give me what I want. Because David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. So if he won't hear me, I know I won't get what I've asked him for, because he never heard me in the first place. But John says, if I pray and I know that he hears me when I pray, then I have the petition that I ask him for. So when I have faith and go to God, it's like I'm believing it is mine even before I go. But when I say, God, you said in your word, and I'm standing on your word, that you would do this if I do that, and I've done my part, now I'm waiting on you to do your... God said, now that boy got faith. Now listen at me now, listen at me well, listen at me well. Because if you are wavering nothing, then that means the devil can't change your mind. If you are wavering nothing, then that means that the devil can't put other views in your mind or in your thought processes to take your focus off of what God has said. So if you are wavering nothing, then that means regardless of how I feel, I'm going on my faith. And see, faith has to rise above feelings. Because too many of us misconstrue faith with feelings. Because I feel all right. Feel good. I feel like this is gonna work. I feel like everything is gonna be all right. Okay, scratch your feelings. Because faith don't function on feelings. What about if you don't feel like it's gonna be all right? What about if you don't feel good? What about if you don't feel like you're on top? What about if your feelings give you a double negative of all of the things that your faith is saying? Then you must say, listen, I make a choice to either choose to feel or to function by faith. And whenever you choose to function by faith, then the feelings have got to line up with faith, not faith with feelings. You have what you have as a believer by faith, not by feelings. Feelings are a part of our natural man. Faith is a part of our spiritual man. And too many of us try and deal with God in the natural rather than the spiritual. So he says, nothing wavering. Look at this word. Look at this word. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now listen at this now. Because remember now, faith puts you in a whole nother arena. Faith puts you on solid ground. Feelings put you on water. An unstable substance. Now listen at me. You can have an anchor if you want to on each side of the ship. But still know this, if the wind pushes the water will move the boat. And if the boat is moved, then that means that that is in the boat is moved. Because listen at this now, you are no more secure, no more stable, no more stout, no more secure or placed than the vessel that you're in. Now if you're placing your faith in a vessel that is on water, that is moved by the wind, then you can be here today and gone tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. You can be gone the next few minutes, because if a good wind comes, it's going to blow you away from that place you anchored down in. I wish I had some fishermen here in the congregation who'd understand what I'm talking about. It's important for you to understand your faith must be solid, unmovable. And so therefore the arena of faith differs from that of the arena of feelings, which causes us to vacillate and to be like wavering movements and so forth, because they differ in their nature. And so listen at this. The wind represents troubles. The wind represents struggles. The winds represents adversities and oppositions, etc. So the wind is always going to move against the vessel on the water, causing again the water to toss you, to move you, to shake you. That's what happens when trouble, struggles, problems, situations come against you. It's either your faith rooting you and grounding you in what God has said, or it is then like your faith, like a wave that keeps on moving, flowing, tossing, and being turned and thrown from one place to the other. No stability. Now listen at this, because I need you to see what he says. For let not that man, somebody say that man, whoever that man is, think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now you've got to have a faith that does not move. No thing wavering. But by the same token, you've got to know if your faith is not solid and strong and letting no thing or nothing move it, then don't think you're going to get anything from God, who sees your faith and understands where you are. Now, it's easy. You've heard the saying, you can fool some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all of the people, some of the people all the time. It's important for you to understand you can't fool God none of the time. That's where I'm trying to get to. You can't fool him at no time. You see, you can make it, you know, as if you've got what it takes, and get folk all stirred up because they're looking at you and you have all of the theatrics down, the dramatizations down, the verbiage down. You have all of that together, but God looks beyond all that stuff. Because I done found out that a whole lot of folk do a whole lot of loud talking just because they really ain't saying nothing. I found out that a lot of other folk do a lot of other stuff because they really ain't got some stuff to root them and ground them, and they're searching and they're imitating and they're doing what they see others do because they ain't got it on the inside of them. But I'm here to tell you, God looks beyond all of that stuff, and God looks at your faith and sees where your faith is. God is not moved by theatrics, dramatization. He's not moved by all that. You can have somebody sit there on the side of you, don't move an inch. And you can dance all around him, shout all around him. And when the storms of life come, that person will still be rooted and you stretched out somewhere from high blood pressure, from heart attack, from this, that, and the other, because you done let trouble worry you. You done looked over there and criticized them, said they ain't got nothing. But yet they're stable, they're stout, they're strong, they're able to stand and weather the storm because they say, God, you know, I ain't got all that, sister so-and-so, God, I just believe what you said. And because you said it, I've got simple faith enough to do it. So, I mean, here I am. And God honors that. He honors that. Now, I want you to see something else. He says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, it didn't say you wouldn't get something. Because you're going to get something, but it ain't from the Lord. I think y'all ought to hear me here. Listen, when the devil hears you in your natural prayer language, in your natural tongue, in your natural petition, don't think that when you pray out of order and when you are communicating and speaking those things that are out of the word, not in sync with the word, but against the word or the will or the way of God, that the devil isn't hearing you. And don't think that the devil won't try and bring up some of the stuff and give to you. See, you've got to have wisdom. You've got to know some things just aren't of God. Every gift does not come from God. But if it's a good gift, then good is synonymous with agreeing with God's word. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. So the truth of the matter is, every gift doesn't come from God, but every good and perfect gift does.